Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Yoga. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, July 23rd, 2017. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. Not unlike the time last week where I went to McDonald's after a show and it was late and I tried to go to sleep after it and I just felt like shit. I felt like a horrible person for doing that to my body, and I apologize to myself, and I just didn't feel good at all to do that, but we move on. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival, and you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter, at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 229. There's no guest. There's just me. You're just getting this solo, sinus-infused episode. I apologize at the top of the show. I don't know what happened. I think it's just the hot weather and maybe blasting the AC a lot. I don't know what's going on, but I'm trying to take care of it. And I hope it's not too bothersome, but I will try to entertain you and maybe inform you. But I will try to get you through whatever it is that you're going through for the next few minutes, okay, of your life. Can I do that for you? I'm just doing a thing over here. You know what I'm saying? I am sitting in my apartment on my couch. NBA TV is on mute. Utah versus Seattle, 1993 Western Conference playoffs, the first round. Earlier today, NBA TV, that's probably my favorite, one of my favorite sports channels. When there's nothing on TV, that's usually my go-to channel, NBA TV. This morning, they were playing a bunch of the slam dunk competitions. And they showed the 1993 championship, I believe. It was when Harold Miner won. And Harold Miner, they used to call him Baby Jordan. Baby Jordan, and he came out of USC, played with Miami. And there was all this hullabaloo when he won. And he really did, his career didn't really amount to anything. He only played for 4 years. He's shooting guard, small forward. But he did have a good enough... He made enough of an impact for Wale to rap about him. Wale had this record called Let's Ride, and it was a cover. It was just like he rapped over the Dilla beat that was on Amplified, the Q-Tip song, Let's Ride. Ooh, me and you, I think we should ride. Come on. You remember that? The Dilla beat, the Q-Tip, brand new something, butter sword something, low ride something into something, something, something. And he was talking about the girl. That was an underrated album, Amplified. Oh, my God. That was a good album. Q-Tip's one of my favorites. He's in my top five. What do you want from me? Terrific album. And he had this wild... I just want my career to be dope enough for a rapper to rap about me, I would say. Like, I mean, Harold Miner got on a Wale mixtape in 2008. But it wasn't kind of like a diss, because he was like, he said, I got the MJ flow, the Harold Miner mind. Ooh, God. Wale is probably the best, one of the greatest MCs to use sports references and just make it work. Let me see what else I can think of. Well, in that same song, he says, I'm no Los Rogers, no Mike Williams. Talking about, like, Carlos Rogers was an NFL bust. Mike Williams was an NFL bust. And he was just like, oh my God. Yeah. So he was great. And he had a song. He did a remix. He did a freestyle over Jay-Z's song, Thank You. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please hold your applause. And he said something like, they make you girl. No, that. Well, he did do a remix of that. But it was a baron. Who's the Drake? Say something. Say something. So he rapped over that. Wale rapped over that. And he had a line about Maurice Jones-Drew, where Maurice Jones-Drew was running and he kneeled. And I don't know if he was supposed to kneel or something. I forget what it was. But he was saying something like, girls, like, they make you kneel before you score. Maurice Jones-Drew. And it was just like, ah! And he has a song. Oh, the same, that other record the first record I mentioned, a song, that Les Ride joint, where he's talking about, I'm not from the block. He's like, oh shit, let me see if I can find it. Can I go to Rap Genius? Can I go to Genius and see if this comes up? Wale. Let's see if it'll 100 miles. Let's see if Let's Ride will come up. We're doing this in real time, folks. Let's see. It might not because it's from... Oh, shit, it does. Okay. Let's see if they got the lyrics. Peace to Maryland, but still an uptown aroma. Strong enough to bring him out of coma. The wake up. Man, Wale is a fuck. Mixtape Wale, man... There's not any. I don't know that there's many better than Mixtape Wale. Album Wale, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. Where the hell is that line? Me and you, promise it better than first. Shit. Okay. He goes, I can't fuck with. this is kind of. Talking about a girl. This is bad. He says, I'm trying to get to the line. I got about talking about some girl that he won't mess with. And he says, I just bounce like there's no hole. Barry Sanders on turf. That means I have no block. True indeed, I don't rep no block. I rep for the people that rep hip hop. And the Rap Genius annotation says, so the Barry Sanders reference. Wale needs to get away from the makeup-wearing girl, so he bounces or leaves really fast. So fast that he could be compared to the best, fastest, most agile running back of all time, Barry Sanders of the Detroit Lions. When Sanders had no hole to run through or blocker to clear the path in front of him, he'd cut and bounce to get away from the defenders. Similarly, Wale's dodging the makeup-wearing girl. Okay. That's a preference. And then he says, like, true indeed, I don't rep no block, which means, like, I'm not a, well, he says he doesn't represent. It's almost, this says, though he's from, Pack Attack 210 says, though he's from DC, Wale doesn't claim to represent any one particular block, neighborhood, or area. Instead, he represents all those people that still care about and make up real hip-hop music. I kind of thought it was like he wasn't really on no hood shit, but whatever. But that's just like, God, that it just makes me think about, I would have to say that Wale is probably the greatest with sports references. There is a Pharoah Monch song off his very first album where he talks, he's like, Pharoah's official, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He, for Pharoah Monch. Now I'm going down a rabbit hole. Pharoah Monch. Okay, what the? Pharoah's official, like, starter, hit harder than Spalding. Authentic. Let's see what the name of that song is. I think it's just called Official. I think. Internal Affairs is the first album. And it's like chat. Yeah, it's called Official. And he had this great song called I Know You. It called The Light. I know you will see the light, baby, once you understand what you mean to me, darling. You guys remember that, right? 1999. I'm not old. That was my freshman year of college. Wow. How time flies. How time flies, you guys. So, yeah, it just made me think of that. And that was a tangent. That was a hell of a, maybe a 10-minute tangent. So big things this week. Big things this week. I'm doing a week at the Creek, in the Cave in Long Island City. It's going to be me doing a long set each day, for each night at 7 p.m., Monday through Friday. I'm going to have Brandon Collins is going to be hosting all those shows. Might have a couple guests. I know Courtney Farrington is scheduled to come on Tuesday. May have a couple other guests pop in. But for the most part, it's just going to be me doing a long set and working on the hour to eventually one day make it into an album. And that'll probably, I'm hoping that'll come out around this time next year, maybe. I'm hoping, if it's the Lord's will. But for now, it's going to be a good time. We're going to have fun. I'm going to tell some jokes. And we're going to, you know, you get your night started. Like, you get off work, have a couple drinks, come to the show. The food's good there at the Creek. It's like a Cali, a Mexicali type thing. They've got good burritos. Their burgers are good. It's been a while. I got to eat there. It's been a while since I've eaten there. So I'm excited to perform, man, and to really get in some quality stage time. That's going to be fun. And in about another 6 weeks, I'm going to be with Brandon Collins again, filling in, doing the Medium Popcorn podcast, a live taping. I'm co-hosting with Brandon Collins. We're reviewing Juice. We're going to have a round table discussion about Juice, the movie starring Tupac Shakur and one Omar Epps. One of their first, probably their first big movies. I would have to say it's Tupac's biggest movie, right? His breakout role. I don't give a fuck about you. I don't give a fuck about Raheem. I don't give a fuck about myself. Scene. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you guys. I was just acting. So it's going to be at the Slipper Room on August 31st. Doors at 7, show at 8. $10 tickets online. 15 in advance. Is going to be Brandon Collins, myself co-hosting. Guests are going to be Abby Crutchfield and Darren Patterson. Abby and all everybody that's on the bill, a friend of the podcast. Abby Crutchfield is on a show called You Can Do Better on True TV. Very talented lady, and she's going to be there. And Darren Patterson, friend of the show, funny comic. His podcast, The Virgin Chronicles, I've been on there, and it's a good pod. So, yeah, man, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited because I get to maybe go to Insomnia Cookies after. So that's the fat boy in me. Or maybe I'll get to go to Sweet Chick, because Sweet Chick is right there, right down there. So I might, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, young. I might, you know. Fat Boy Reconnaissance, 6 weeks in advance. So that's going to be fun, plugging that. That's going to be good. And then I'm doing a residency at each for 3 weeks at UCB East, fresh out. That's going to be starting. That starts August 3rd. So I'm going to be doing some shows there. I think that's August 3rd through the August 3rd, August 10th, and August 17th. I'm going to be doing a little residency. So if you want to just see me do a quick spot, you can check me out there. I'll be there. That's going to be fun. But mainly, come to the Creek in the Cave this week, 7 o'clock, Monday through Friday. I'm getting these jokes off, and it's going to be, as the young kids say, it's going to be, that's going to be pretty lit, you guys. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited to show out and show off, man. It's going to be a good time. I wonder, will they let me have pre-show music? If they let me have pre-show music, I'll make a playlist, damn it. So I'm super excited about that. So I hope you come. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a good time. This past week, I had an audition that was kind of weird. They changed the time. So I went in early and I got in at 10 a.m. and I was there on time. Nobody else was there. And I waited in the waiting room. And then the assistants, it was a big time casting director that I had auditioned for. And I was like, all right, this doesn't look good. And the guy was like, okay, just say, it looks like he didn't even want to be there. I don't even know if he recorded the fucking thing to put me on tape, but we'll see. That was Friday. Friday night, I had a show at the Schoolhouse Theater in Westchester what do they call that? They call that Croton Falls. Croton Falls, because there's Croton Falls, and then there's Croton on Hudson. I was at, and it's in Westchester, and it's pretty close to Connecticut, and not far from where the homie Paul Verzi lives at. And I didn't realize how I had performed there before. And I didn't realize, I was like, oh God, it's up there. And I did the show, and it was mainly predominantly middle-aged to senior citizens at the show. I don't really have a problem with that, but I was just, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I was just like, I'm just going to do the material I've been working on and just see where it's at. Because if you just, I'm just not going to. And it's not like my shit is just, I'm so edgy, but it's just, I'm going to do the stuff that I've been working on and just see how it lands. And, they were digging it. It was fun. And, the booker, shout out to Adam Oliansis, they had us, he wanted us to kind of hang, some of us to hang out after the show. And I talked to some people in the lobby. It was really cool. And I had a good time. And, It's a really nice theater. It used to be, I'm assuming it used to be a school, because it's called the Schoolhouse Theater. I'm trying to look at because I was there, I want to say I was there in 2014 or late 2015, I want to say. But they have an about. Let's see the history of this place. Now we can get into it. Let's see. God, I don't want to read all this. But it's okay. The Schoolhouse Theater, a nonprofit organization, is a venerable cultural center devoted to professional theater at the highest possible standard. We are committed to bringing bright, new, innovative, and groundbreaking programs and plays to the community. And this place is. Well, okay. Here we go. The beautiful building that houses the Schoolhouse Theater was formerly the Croton Falls Elementary School. In 1983, founder Lee Pope transformed the building into a visual arts center. At that time, the cafeteria, gym, and auditorium space was simply a white wall. Okay. So, and it just became a place that's now an equity house, now a union, Actors Equity Association, union house. They do plays, and every now and then they'll have comedy shows. And I had a good time, man. I like performing at these like art spaces and all of that shit. It was a good time. I had fun. It was nice, especially for me. It was nice to get in like a 20-minute plus set before this week. So I had a great time, and it's just I just like that drive. I like driving. I just like driving to venues and stuff. I like the road. I like doing the road. I like comedy. Okay? God, give me a break. So that was a good time. Let's see where else. What else I want to talk about? I have notes. I'm prepared for this. I'll talk about a couple things, some TV shows, some movies, and then we'll just get out of here. Kyrie Irving, what was that? Was that Thursday or Friday? Friday was the news broke that Kyrie does not want to play with the Cavs anymore. He's tired of being Robin to LeBron's Batman, which is kind of weird to me. It's weird to me because LeBron's not the type of player that hogs, wants to have all the attention and wants to score all the time. But I guess being under his, he is like pretty much put under his shadow, and it's like, and I can see where that could be a problem for him. But does he remember what that was like before LeBron was there? Like when he was there by himself, you know? And then the destinations were going to be San Antonio, Minnesota, New York, and somewhere else. It would be nice if I had that. It was somewhere else where he wanted to go. And since I live in the New York area, I've barely listened to ESPN radio here. I mean, the sports that I get my sports through, like Bomani Jones, The Right Time, and Le Batard for the most part, and that Hot Firestarter crew. So I don't really, but because I live in this area, that's my default is ESPN radio. And when I turn my car on, and it was like, oh, I hope he comes to the Knicks. If he goes to the Knicks are going to have to give up Melo. I don't think they're just going to do a straight up Melo trade. I would assume they would be getting Porzingis, and I don't think the Knicks want to part with Porzingis. And if I'm LeBron and I can get Melo and I can get Porzingis, I don't know if I would leave Cleveland after that. I mean, you get Porzingis, a rising star, a guy that's like still evolving, and that would be great. And then Minnesota, if he went to Minnesota, God, you think that they wouldn't? I mean, that would be pretty dope. Would you be giving up Jimmy Butler for Kyrie? Would you be giving up Wiggins? Are they willing to give up Wiggins, who's a rising star? I don't know, you guys. That's just kind of, I don't know. And I'm not super basketball savvy, but just seeing what was floating around, especially when it comes to the Knicks, it's just like, yo, you giving me Porzingis if I'm giving up Kyrie? Because then if you got Porzingis, you could have damn near anybody bring up the ball. If Derrick Rose stays halfway healthy, and he'd be all right. And then they were saying Derrick Rose had a pretty good season. So Derrick Rose is maybe going to sign with the Cavs. I just don't want the Cavs to just fall apart like this coming season. I hope not. But if not, it's just going to be, I guess it's just going to be more interesting in the West to see what happens with that arms race. And then the storylines are always going to be fun and interesting. They kept the NBA going. Nobody was expecting that to happen. And they got, oh my God, LeBron was blindsided. And I heard Bomani Jones say this, he said something like, that's a thing that should not be in LeBron's vocabulary, the way that he left Cleveland the first time. It's like when OJ got paroled this week, he said, I'd never use a weapon on anybody. And everybody was like, ooh, okay, oh boy. That doesn't... that's funny. So it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. I'm always here for the NBA trades and all of that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what pops off with that. They're going to have to make something happen before the season starts. I would assume that it would be in everybody's best interest to make something happen before the season starts, because then it could be kind of awkward. But then they probably don't. Maybe they deal with more of that bullshit anyway during the season. So who knows? I don't know. Let's talk about some music. No real music stuff. Oh, well, Sky Zoo dropped his EP called Peddler's Theme, and it's good. Like, it's an 8-song EP, and it's Sky Zoo. I mean, like, Sky Zoo rapping over these beats. Illmind is on. Mark Infinite, friend of the podcast. Sky Zoo's a friend of the podcast. You know, guys? So, I'm pretty cool. Yeah, man, it's if you like Sky Zoo and you're a Sky Zoo fan, like, it's just, I mean, he's a rapping ass rapper. He's what you call a generational great, okay? And so it's definitely good. I recommend it. Tyler the Creator. Now I see that now that more folks are listening to the album, now it's officially out, people are talking about it. And like I said this 2 weeks ago. One of the best hip-hop albums of the year. Maybe one of the best albums of the year in any genre, maybe. Really great production. So now all the cool kids, I'm seeing all the cool kids that I follow, they are saying the same thing. They're just like, Tyler leveled up. So I would like to even think that I'm ahead of the game. I'm ahead of the cool kids in that regard. Maybe not in regards to Twitter followers or genuine love from people, but I can say that I said that this album was good before all the cool kids said it. So you heard it here first 2 weeks ago that I said that. All right, you guys. Really liking, I mentioned her a couple of months ago, Sinead Hartnett, who had this EP, just a self-titled EP. And she has another, like, I guess, kind of like a, this might be, how many songs is this? It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Another, like, 8-song EP. Sinead Hartnett's from the UK. And she's got this new project that came out this summer called Chapter One. And I happened to be listening to her driving home. And I was like, damn, she's, like, really good. And, like, I liked her EP. I'm like, okay, she's good. She's got these good songs. I found out about her when I Shazammed an episode of that Freeform show, Famous in Love. And I was like, oh, that's a good, and it was a slow jam. And I was like, damn, that's really good. And I'm mainly a mid-tempo guy. But I really dug it. And she's good. Like, it just, like, her music's just kind of, like, sinking in now. I'm just like, oh, I dig it. And she's kind of doing, like, she's doing R&B. And not to sound like a douche, but it seems like a lot of these artists in the UK are doing, like, R&B, like, it, I sound like an old fart when I sound like they just kind of doing it the way that it's supposed to be done. Who else? And even, like, what's my girl that are, oh man, she had, what's that? We Are Unstoppable. What is her name? Oh my God. Her album is called Blood. I see her in my head, and I see her, let's see. Hopefully it's on my iTunes and I can actually get it out. Oh, come on, Chris. Come on, dude. What is her name? Oh my God. She's Unstoppable. Oh my God. What is her? She had Leanne LaHavis. Thank God. And I didn't even have to look it up. It was just, sorry for that dead air or me playing. Oh God, I don't know what it's falling apart. My life is falling apart. It is. Yeah. Leanne LaHavis is really good. And it just seems like Dornick. I like Dornick. Yeah, man. It seems like these UK folks are really filling a void, at least for me, within the last, like, 4 to 5 years of, like, music that, even for quite some time, like, just just like solid R&B music like that I was missing, like I would say maybe within the early, maybe within the mid to late 2000s, or maybe I just wasn't paying attention. Cause it's like the Foreign Exchange, yeah, and Eric Robinson, yeah, they're doing like this R&B, but it's like adult contemporary now. Like it's like stuff that wasn't playing on, if you're from the DC area, Maryland, DC area, that wasn't on WPGC. You know, like it would be on like 96.3. But I guess I'm aging out of that stuff anyway. But even though like a girl, like an artist like SZA has like this poppy, but still urban feel to her stuff. She's not like, you definitely hear the grit and the rawness of the material, the stuff that she's talking about, as opposed to an Alessia Cara or like this guy Khalid that I like, that I really need to actually pay more attention to. That Location record is just so fucking dope though. It's kind of hard, like you just kind of had that shit on repeat all the time, but he's got some good tunes too. But as far as like the just like the mellow vibe, I'm and then shit, man. And then like she just, I like Sinead Hart, and if you listen to her, you can see what I'm talking about. She's got a record called Love to Lose, I believe. Let me see. I believe that's the name of it. Jeez, I hate having a cold. If my mother heard me, she would be pissed. Actually, I talked to her today. She didn't notice, so she didn't get to yell at me. She's got a song, really got a good jam called Heal You, featuring this dude that's rapper named Wretch 32, who's like, I'm assuming he's from the UK because he's like, yo, I want to be with you, and you know, stuff like that. So he's definitely not from America. So that was interesting to hear that. But she's got a record. What is this record called? Heal You is a good tune. I really like this joint called Love to Lose. It's just a nice. I'm doing the beats and stuff. You can't hear it. You listen to it. Check out Sinead Hartman. I've told you about her before. She's dope. Also told you about Nao, N-A-O. She's dope as well. But it's, you know how you hear something and you're just like, oh, this is good. I like this person is good. I like their stuff. And then you come back to it and then you really hear it and it kind of hits you and you're just like, oh shit, I'm feeling this. And shout out to Solange, because Solange is doing that too. But I think a lot of these, it just seems like, because now I'm kind of sound like a douche, like, oh, these artists from the UK are really doing something. But I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what that is. And I probably should have brought that up to Morgan Campbell. So the next time I get Morgan on, like in another months from now, because I don't want to bother him again. But the next time I have Morgan on, I'm going to, excuse me, guys, I'm so sorry. Next time I have Morgan on, I'm going to talk to him about this UK stuff, because it's just like, it just seems like they're just in the pocket with it. And I remember like finding out about like, what is, even Craig David had a record on, Craig David had a comeback album, but the first time I heard his record, his single, Got It Good, Don't Worry About It, he's talking about like caking on a girl, but it's a good record though. Don't worry about the cash, baby, throw it in the back, I got it good, I'm certain that you'll have it. Whatever, God, I'm sorry. Sorry for your earbuds, everybody. I'm singing with a cold. Even he had like one of those throwback jams. But I remember Mos Def did a remix. He was doing like a lot of hooks for people. He was doing like a lot of feature spots in the late 90s. And he did this song, I think it's Terry Walker is her name. And she's a British chick. And that's how I found out about her. Terry, I think it's Terry with an I. Terry Walker. I think the record's called Guess You Didn't Love Me. Yeah, she's an English R&B and soul singer, writer. Yeah, she's good. I need to check for her. It's a lot of these people that you just kind of forget about, or you just kind of lose touch. So she's got 1, 2, 3, 4 albums. Last album was 2015. So I got to check her out too, man. It's just so much music. It's hard to keep up. But I remember finding out about her because Mos Def did a record with her. And I was like, oh, this girl's actually really good. Of course, you got Estelle. So I don't know. I got to figure that out, because part of me just doesn't want to sound like an elitist. I don't want you guys to think. I've talked about enough American artists for you to not think I'm an asshole about that. And if you do, you just do. I can't control what you think. Yeah, you guys. Come on. So we talked about Tyler. The Cool Kids confirmed what I already knew. Sinead Hartnett, Sky Zoo, Peddler's Theme. Let's do some TV, and then we'll do some movies, and we'll get the boop out of here. Television. I started watching this show Ozark with Jason Bateman. It's a Netflix show. It's an American drama series created by Bill Dubuque. The first season comprises 10 one-hour episodes produced by Media. Why do I care about this? Jason Bateman stars in the series Oh my God. Bateman portrays financial planner Marty Bird, who suddenly relocates from a Chicago suburb to a summer resort community in the Missouri Ozarks, and who must pay off a debt to a Mexican drug lord, with Laura Linney playing his wife, Wendy. It's good so far, man. I've watched maybe 4 or 5 episodes, and it's super compelling. Like, Netflix started this, man, where they, like, you could kind of binge and forget what the fuck you have to do with your life and really get into these shows. It's really good. It's kind of like, I call it like, if Michael Bluth, his character from Arrested Development, became Walter White and had to go to the Ozarks, like that's and like launder his money. It's really good. I like it. It's an enjoyable series. Netflix is they doing their thing, young. My voice. What the hell? This is my flu game episode. This is my Jordan flu game episode. I like it. I recommend it. Also, I started watching The Handmaid's Tale, and I'm a big Elizabeth Moss fan. Like, you guys know that if you've listened to this show long enough. It's a Hulu series, and I signed up for Hulu just to watch this. So I got to finish. I think I've watched 4 episodes. And I'm liking it so far. It's heavy. And I posted that on Facebook, and like one of my friends from undergrad, she said, yeah, you know, I can only watch one at a time. I can't binge on it. I have to watch one episode and leave it for a bit. This is based on the best-selling novel by Margaret Atwood. This series is set in Gilead, a totalitarian society in what used to be part of the United States. Gilead is ruled by a fundamentalist regime that treats women as property of the state and is faced with environmental disasters and a plummeting birth rate. In a desperate attempt to repopulate a devastated world, the few remaining fertile women are forced into sexual servitude. One of these women, Offred, is determined to survive the terrifying world she lives in and find the daughter that was taken from her. It's good. I like it. Elizabeth Moss is a great actor. It's just heavy as fuck, man. It's really intense, and you just kind of have to like brace yourself for that. But it's definitely a good show. It's beautifully shot. A lot of these television shows, nowadays just look incredible. They look better than movies, some of them do. So I recommend Handmaid's Tale. I know maybe I'm late to the party, but I mean, it got maybe, what, 13 Emmy or Emmy noms? A lot of nominations. And it's good. I dig it. And then also, it made me excited to eventually see this new season of Top of the Lake, which I guess is out on BBC One, BBC whatever. I can't get it now that I'm here. You know, I can't get it in the States yet. So I'm assuming that'll come out on Netflix in a few months. I don't know. But I highly recommend Ozark and Handmaid's Tale. So it's good. Some good television. And if you're into that, check out, I'm sure if you listen to this, you're probably listening to Righteous Prick. But the homie J.L. Covan and Brandon Collins did a recap and gave their predictions of Emmy predictions coming up. So they talked about a lot of the TV, and it made me realize that I am not as I don't watch as much TV as those dudes. I thought that I was, that I watched a lot, and I do, but I just don't watch as much as they do. And that made me feel pretty good that I'm not as obsessed as I thought I was. So thanks, Brandon and JL, for making me feel that way. That's cool. Movies. Let's do movies, and we'll get out of here. Hello, 41. That's not bad. 40 minutes. All right. Let's talk about some movies. And then I'll let you go. All right. I saw Dunkirk, the new Christopher Nolan movie. I kind of felt like this was a chore to watch. And I know it's 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. I know it's Christopher Nolan, one of the greatest one of the greatest filmmakers of this side of the new millennium. I know that. I know it's great. I know he's one of the greatest of all time. I don't know if it was because of the day I was having. I wasn't really having too much of a bad day. I was just kind of like, I don't know. I know that I had been up all day since like maybe 3 or 4:30. I dozed off a couple times. I didn't really miss too much. But I went to see this on Thursday at around 6 o'clock. And one, I saw it in 70mm because if you're... an AMC Stubbs member, you get, I think they give you like 1,000 points to your credit. And I was like, okay, I'm going to see it. I want to see it because it's Christopher Nolan. I'm just not a big war movie fan. To me, the best war movie is A Soldier's Play. A Soldier's Story, rather. And what it was about them. Was that World War One or World War Two? I feel like it was a World War II, but I could be wrong. A Soldier's Story. Black Army Investigator. Yep, World War II. Towards the tail end of World War II. Yeah, that's my favorite war movie is that. And it wasn't even, that joint wasn't even a war overseas. It was a war within this country, about race, about class, about all these things, young. It was really fucking good, based on the Charles Fuller play, 1984. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Movie came out in 84. Dope ass movie. Dunkirk, it looked great. The action was good. You know, stuff blowing up, the way people was getting shot, all this blasé skip. I just wasn't connected to it, and maybe I have to see it again. And I'm sure I'll see it again when it comes out on Blu-ray or whatever. Make sure you see this. And because when I got out of it, I went to the bathroom. These guys, oh my God, that was, wow, it was intense. It's really fucking intense, bro. Like everybody, you know, they loved it and shit. And I was just like, all right, okay. I'm just not a big war movie fan. It was straight, but I would say you just have to be in a mood, like in a certain mood to watch it. I don't know. I wasn't feeling it like everybody else was. But then on Saturday, so that was Thursday. On Saturday, I went to go see Girls Trip, and I had some rest. I went to like a 10:20 screening, and it was like a good amount. It was a lot. It wasn't that crowded, but it was enough black women in the theater for me to have the optimal. Is it optimal or optimum? The best experience of having, you know, getting the vibes, the black woman vibes, and being in there. So Girls Trip. Oh, I ain't even described Dunkirk. Anyway, Girls Trip. Okay, best friends Ryan, Sasha, Lisa, and Dina are in for the adventure of a lifetime when they travel to New Orleans for the annual Essence Festival. Along the way, they rekindle their sisterhood and rediscover their wild side by doing enough dancing, drinking, brawling, and romancing to make the Big Easy blush. This was directed by Malcolm D. Lee, who gave us The Best Man, The Best Man Holiday, and Roll Bounce. People try to shit on Roll Bounce. That's a good-ass movie. I think they try to shit on Roll Bounce because they don't like Bow Wow. But fuck that. Roll Bounce is a fun-ass movie. I really fucking enjoyed this. When I first saw the trailer, I was like, is this going to be like some cheesy bullshit? It's a booty hole. Like, you know, seeing that, like, it was just like, oh no. But then it kept getting the buzz. And I saw how they were trying to do that Rough Night movie that came out. Like, that was coming out. And I'm thinking, that to me just seemed like very bad things with chicks. And Rough Night, I'll see it when it comes out on Redbox in a couple weeks. So, whatever. I'm sure it ain't on the level as Girls Trip. Girls Trip was really fucking good. It was so good to see black women on screen, beautiful women, black people. I just enjoyed it. I was invested in the story. I kind of knew where some things were headed to a certain degree. You know, there's going to be like the feelings of betrayal, mistrust, the blow-ups. I just thought they handled all those moments well. Tiffany Haddish is definitely the breakout star. The Black Guy Who Tips this morning, and we were talking about it, and just saying how, like, that was kind of, IndieWire had a piece on it. They did an article about it, and they were just saying how that Tiffany Haddish role was basically like breakout, like Zach Galifianakis and The Hangover and Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids. But it was just like, it was just a good performance. It was a good movie. There were parts, like, it definitely made me laugh. But I was smiling a lot. I just saw myself smiling and having just like, I felt, you know, I was smiling. I was having a good time. And it just made me feel good. Like the Essence Fest, like they had, I'm not sure, I don't want to give anything away, but there were just some artists that were on. It just made me feel, it was like, oh, this is really fucking cool. Like, you centered the whole movie around this event, and you had access to these celebrities. And it just made me feel good. And it was great. I really enjoyed it. Flossie Posse Forever, you guys. I really fucking enjoyed it. Good ass movie, yo. I highly recommend it. And I think that's it. You know, I'm thinking about doing a Patreon page to give you guys for donations for the show, but mainly to provide extra content. I'm thinking of going that way. I talked to some folks about it. I think I might do that. Some get you guys some premium content and maybe shake things up a little bit. And you could have, like, donate to the show, all of that jazz, and to make it better. I think I want to keep doing this as long as I can. I really enjoy doing it. So this is the announcement that it might happen pretty soon, and so you'll know about it. But I'm thinking we might do that. Have some extra little gems for you guys. So that being said, come out to the Week at the Creek. Put all those other events on your calendar. Put the Slipper Room August 31st at 8:00. Put that on your calendar. Medium Popcorn Live filling in for Justin Brown. It's going to be a great time. I thank you all for listening, and I hope you come out to those things, and I hope you have a great week, and I'll talk to you next time. I'm falling apart here. I hope you have a great week, and I'll talk to you next time. Peace.